Good evening. Welcome to an hour of music from around the world. The program is Earthbeat. I'm Cecil Doyle. Tonight we feature an hour-long special on the Hawaiian slack key guitar. Narrated by Kundani Apoliona, this is The Language of Dreams, Hawaiian slack key guitar. Here on Earthbeat, KRVS, Lafayette, Lake Charles. We hope you will enjoy this extended special on the styles featuring Sonny Chillingworth, George Winston, and more.
Open tunings, gentle, finger-picked patterns, subtle variations as individual and evocative as a voice. You're listening to Slack Key, a uniquely Hawaiian way of playing guitar. Also known as Kiho'alu, Slack Key dates back to the early 19th century, but many aspects of the style can be traced back much further to Mele Kahiko, the ancient style of Hawaiian music and dance. Mele Kahiko, unlike most world musics, is totally centered on sounded words, which are believed to possess great mana, or power. In Mele Kahiko, there is no purely instrumental tradition. The human voice is the dominant instrument, and chanters are trained in a wide variety of vocal manipulations. Following this legacy, slack key players employ a wide variety of ornaments to create vocal-like effects. They also usually sound each note singly, plucking rather than strumming their strings. In slack key, as in Mele Kahiko, contrast and flow are highly developed, and guitarists frequently draw upon traditional rhythms. Yet, for all its adherence to the past, slack key also represents innovation. Hawaiian musicians have always been masters of adaptation, and slack key draws upon a wide variety of influences. Slack key also encourages individual expression. Each artist strives to develop a distinctive style, a unique voice that expresses personal feelings of aloha for family, friends, and the aina. Ultimately, aloha is the pole star in slack key. Whatever the song, whatever the occasion, slack key masters play from the heart with the Hawaiian touch. Through most of its long history, slack key has been a folk music, enjoyed at home or at family gatherings, but seldom shared with strangers. Slack key guitarists have traditionally learned their craft from older relatives, who closely guarded the family's special tunings and techniques. In the 1960s and 70s, as part of a wider revival of Hawaiian culture and values, many slack key masters more openly shared their music with the public. Legendary figures such as Gabby Pahinui, Auntie Alice Namakelua, Ata Isaacs, Sonny Chillingworth, and Leonard Kwan began actively performing, recording, and teaching as never before. Younger guitarists like Keola Beamer, Ledward Ka'apana, Cyril Pahinui, and Peter Moon stepped forward, adding their own distinctive touches. Today, slack key is a major part of Hawaiian popular music. While outsiders still often associate Hawaii exclusively with the sweet, graceful glissandos of the steel guitar, in Hawaii that image has expanded to include the gentle but firm finger-picking and smooth, supple flow of slack key. Although it has come to prominence so much later, slack key actually predates the steel guitar by half a century. The most common theory traces its origins to Mexican cowboys called paniolo, who came to Hawaii in the 1830s. As slack key's elder statesman Raymond Connie explains,
"My great-grandfather was a cowboy, and he said that during that time that we had cattle problems. So that's how they came over here to help the Hawaiians round up the cattle. And that's when it was multiplied. Oh, cattle's all over the island. It was in the schools where the children were at, you know, and they're running all over the town patches and the festival gardens or whatever. And the people went out to Kamehameha and grumbled about the cattle. Then the captain heard about that, and he came over and said, 'Hey, Kamehameha, I just came from San Diego. They got a whole bunch of cowboys out there. They ropes cattle, and that's all they do all year round. Rodeo shows and everything.' 'Yeah, yeah.' So they hired us. They hired about 150 of those guys to come over here and round up the cattle. So when they went over there, they brought the guitars. And they had several guitars. And after work, they sit down by the bonfire, and they all sing the old Mexican song and Spanish song. When the Hawaiians heard the sound and the music, oh, the Hawaiians were so impressed. Oh, they just wanted to get one of those. They wanted to learn how to play those instruments. It was a guitar. So next thing you know, it's about time to go home. See, the contract was over. So when they went home, they left a couple of guitars there to some good Hawaiian friends. See, but when they left, they forgot to tune the guitar. Oh. So anyway, he's trying to see if he can try to tune the guitar the way how the Spanish had. So he turned his key upside down, up and down, up, down, raises keys, turn the keys. His buddy saw him tuning the guitar. So he said, "Oh, kiho'alo." You know, kiho'alo means a slack key. In Hawaiian, it's slack key, and in English, it's slack key. So that's how slack key came into being.
Raymond grew up in Nanakuli on Oahu's remote but musically rich Waianae coast. He first heard slack key as a child.
One morning I got up and I heard this beautiful music. Yeah, that was some kind of a music I haven't heard before. I hear it coming from a tent, one of the fishermen. See, my father had six canoes and he had some men working for him. They go out and catch mackerel 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. So I heard this music. So I started walking through his tent. I guess he heard me coming. He turned all the strings flat. He turned his guitar upside down and put his feet on it. See, back in the olden days, the Hawaiians were very, very selfish. Oh, unless you're a family, then he'll play for you and he'll sing with you. And he, you know, but I wasn't a family, see? So I was out. So anyway, I went up there and said, "Hey, that's a beautiful music. Would you play some music for me?" He said, "No." He said, "Beat it." I said, "Well, what do you mean, beat it? I like to hear your music." He said, "Scram." Well, I scram. So anyway, I came back the next day. I was very persistent. I said, "Hey, you get tired of eating those same old mackerel every day." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I can get some Hawaiian fish for you. You know, but you know what I'm talking about. Kumu and uhu and all that, see?" He said, yeah, can you get that? I said, yeah, easy. If you get that, I'll teach you. Oh, fine. So I went out and got some fish. Well, what kind of fish you like? He said, anything. I said, okay. So I went and caught all kind of fish, and I brought it up to him. And he said, oh, thank you very much. That's how I'm going to sell another place, Slacky. And here I is, playing Slacky.
Like most folk culture around the world, Slack-Key tends to be passed down orally. Teachers normally follow the old Hawaiian way that stresses nana ka maka, observing with the eyes, ho'olohe ka pepe au, listening carefully, and ho'opili, imitating what the teacher does. This way, beginners develop both respect for their kupuna, or elders, and a good ear. Once they are skilled enough to play on their own, students are free to improvise. Most Slack-Key guitarists are gifted improvisers who compose original material and craft new arrangements of melodies that inspire them. Raymond created his best-known composition, Punahele, in 1938. It came to him while sitting on the beach at night, watching sand crabs scurrying between the waves. In a G wahine tuning, the song beautifully illustrates the nahe-nahe, or relaxing side of Slack-Key, as well as the importance of the hammer-on and the pull-off, two of the ornaments in Slack-Key that have been carried over from chanting. In 1987, for his lifelong commitment to the Slack-Key style he learned as a child, Raymond Kaleoloha Puena Ole Ohele Manukane received America's highest folk arts award, a folk heritage fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts in Washington, D.C.
And I think that's one of the greatest moments in my life, to receive a plaque from the President of the United States. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Since then, he has continued to share his music with audiences and students, with everyone who appreciates the old-time style. One of Slack-Key's most beloved and influential figures, the late Sonny Chillingworth, learned to play from his grandfather on Molokai.
My grandmother and grandfather, they were from two different families that didn't like each other. In order to court, they had to do it in sneaky ways. So my grandfather, at night, he used to sneak up to her window. And in those days, they had metal screen windows, not the plastic like they do today. So he used to hook up his needle and stick it into the metal screen and wax the thread. And have the thread move way out to where he was in the paddocks. And he would stick it into the guitar. And then he would pull it a little tight. And then he would play. And the sound would travel through the thread into the screen and into her room. And she would listen to it, open the screen, take the thread out, and follow the thread to him. And that's how my mother and her brothers and sisters got to be here, I guess. Started all in the paddocks.
Sonny was also deeply touched by the music of the legendary Gabby Pahinui. Gabby was the first slack key guitarist ever recorded, starting in 1946. His masterful ability and charismatic personality attracted countless younger players who often refer to him respectfully as Pops. Sonny first met Gabby in 1948. The two musicians played together off and on until Gabby passed away in 1980. Throughout this time, Sonny established himself as a master in his own right, with great instrumental prowess and a warm, rich voice, ideally suited for romantic songs such as Pua Tuberosi. Sonny also maintained from childhood a strong interest in the music of other groups who had made their homes in Hawaii. He was particularly fond of Puerto Rican, Mexican, country western, and Portuguese music. All found their way into his slack key.
Donam bravas tus avaju, kraku meju, kraku paju, kraku filio chapajuntai, kraku meju, kraku paju, kraku filio chapajuntai.
Sonny learned this Portuguese dance tune from an old recording. A large number of Portuguese emigrated to Hawaii in the 1880s. In music, they are best known for introducing the cavaquinho, which Hawaiians renamed ukulele, or jumping flea. Scholars tell us that the Portuguese may have also introduced the steel string guitar to Hawaii. Most slack key guitarists prefer steel strings, though nylon is sometimes also used.
Filho, chapa juntar. Cracumaiu, cracupaiu, craco filho, chapa juntai, craco filho, chapa juntai, craco filho, chapa juntai, craco filho, chapa juntai.
Along with Gabby and Sonny, Leonard Ke'alakuan has been a major influence on the course of modern slack key. Since the late 1950s, his recordings and illustrated playing manual have inspired a countless number of players. His unique runs, characteristic vamps, and trademark low bass sound are instantly recognized and deeply cherished. Leonard grew up in Honolulu and learned slack key from his grandfather and uncle. He also studied music notation and theory at school. In the late 1940s, he began his music career playing string bass for local dance bands. Encouraged by his uncle, he made his first slack key records in the 1950s. His original composition, Opihi Moi Moi, instantly became a jukebox favorite and is today a slack key standard. Like most slack key masters, Leonard uses a great deal of improvisation. This version of New Opihi Moi Moi No. 3, recorded for the 1995 release Ke'ala's Mele, is the newest song in the Opihi series. For Leonard, variation is the spice that keeps slack key interesting for both the audience and the player. Along with the hammer-ons and pull-offs, one of the most important ornaments in slack key is the interjection of harmonics called chimes, or ho'opapa. This effect is created by lightly touching the strings to create overtones. In this recording entitled Kiho'alu Chimes, Leonard uses his right hand to both pluck the strings and touch them gently at the 12th, 7th, and 5th frets, while the left hand hammers on some of the notes after the harmonics are struck. Because slack key tunings are based on chords, overtones also occur when open strings vibrate sympathetically. This casts a subtle halo over the music that slack key musicians find very appealing. Inspired by the overtone series, Keola Beamer has recently fashioned a style of slack key he calls Moi Uhane Kika, or dream guitar.
When I was a young man, my grandmother would tell me these beautiful stories about Hawaiian mythology, Hawaiian legends, Hawaiian chants. And she would tell me these stories to put me to sleep when I was a little boy. And I remember that state that was in between sleep and awake, kind of drifting as her beautiful voice filled the air. And she would tell me these absolutely wonderful, beautiful stories. And I thought years later that I'd like to sort of capture that transitional state between awake and falling asleep. And I thought the best way to do it would be by using one of the most beautiful aspects of the Hawaiian slack key guitar, and that is its ability to generate an overtone series. A great musical instrument lets off this overtone series or series of different notes above the notes that you're actually playing. This creates sort of a veil or a halo, if you will, around from which you can sort of go down and see the music beneath it. Sort of like if you were diving in the water, and the top of the water is the sunlight of the overtone series, and down below is the piece itself. What is magic in music, and how does that happen? I don't think you can plan for that. I don't think you can sit there and say, okay, at 10:34 this morning, you know, I will be magical. It doesn't really work that way. The magic or the beauty of music just seems to happen. I mean, you can rehearse, and of course you should, and be as well prepared as you possibly can, but that special, unknowable magical force that makes music just sort of happens, and hopefully it happens a lot. I play guitars that are custom made for me by some luthiers in Hawaii. And I've discovered over the years that I, you know, like certain things and certain other things I don't need. But basically I have my guitars made out of Hawaiian woods. And it's because of two reasons. Number one, I like the acoustic properties of some of the woods. And I also like the aesthetics of it. I think, you know, the woods are beautiful. I have two guitars that I'm particularly fond of. The first one is made out of koa, which is a Hawaiian native wood. And the second one is made out of mango, which is the wood from the mango fruit. And although that particular wood is extremely fragile and almost like, you know, glass, so you have to be very careful with it, it also is really made a beautiful instrument. There are not too many instruments made of mango, I can assure you. It is said that some Hawaiians believe that the instrument constantly exposed to the mana or the spiritual power of the player eventually begins to develop a soul of its own. And I personally hold with this philosophy. And the reason is because years ago I had a guitar that was destroyed in an accident, and I had cherished that guitar for about 20 years. And when it was destroyed, it was as if I had lost a loved one and somebody very, very special. It's funny, but after sharing so many experiences of performing, of practicing, of recording with a musical instrument, it really becomes a part of you. And likewise, I believe you become a part of it. Thank you.
Since first emerging on the local music scene in the early 1970s, Keola has been a leader in the movement to expand Slack Key. His constant searching for new means of expression led him to look both forward to the latest contemporary music trends and back to his family's deep Hawaiian roots.
I've been fortunate to have a very deep and strong background through my family in the realm of Hawaiian music, chant, and dance. I look at this as the kind of enriching elaboration of my own culture and my own life as a human being, and the inspiration for a lot of my work. I think it's important that we find out who we are in this world, where we're from, what our roots are, who our ancestors are, what kind of people we are. I think all these things are important in grounding us in this world, keep us from spinning off into space. I'm old enough to remember a time when we thought that the Hawaiian slack key guitar would die, that it would perish off the face of the earth. It was such a cultish kind of thing that it became sort of a very difficult to learn, and the reason was that Hawaiians had so much taken from them, their land, their religious system, their sense of place on the earth, that the last thing they wanted taken from them was their music. And so the music pretty much went underground and kind of was hidden, never played for strangers, never played beyond the immediate family groups. I remember once when I was a young man, I heard this beautiful music coming from under a mango tree at a Hawaiian party. And I rushed over there and sat at the feet of the guitar player. And he took one look at me and turned his back and stopped playing. And that's the way it was in those days. Now, that attitude has pretty much dissipated because we realize that in order for an art form to grow and to stay alive, we have to hold it with an open hand. And that's part of what this journey is all about.
Gabby's son, Cyril Pahinui, also continues his family's celebrated association with slack key. Cyril grew up in Waimanalo on Oahu's windward coast.
I guess I was about 7 or 8, and picking up a ukulele was my first instrument, because my dad used to play his instrument, and I figured, well, maybe I should start now. If I recall, waking up, just getting up to hear him play his guitar, like 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, everybody is sleeping, he's out by himself and playing.
In this rich musical environment, Cyril received a solid education in slack key from observing and jamming with his father and legendary figures like Sonny Chillingworth and Otto Isaacs.
I take a little of my dad, Otto Isaacs, and Sonny. That's from when I was a kid to now. That's all, the only 3 people in my life I always think about learning. Put in there, because that's all I knew. You know, I used to sit on their lap when I was a kid. I never took up music in school. Same thing like my dad. Everything was in the backyard. Oh, with friends. Or with just playing the radio, just grab the guitar and just follow whatever songs, you know. And start, then you start creating music. You create whatever you feel, and then, you know. You can put 5 songs into one. You can put 10 songs. Take every verse, take every, you know, whatever part of a music, and just take a little of each. It's just like coloring one song. What I'm doing, or whatever my dad did, is not in the books.
Along with songs, Pop shared with his son Cyril many insights about playing music.
My father always said, don't be lazy, son. Grab the guitar, play, massage your fingers. Never be lazy. Do your job, do your homework, and the reward is this. The people respond. Wow, Cyril, wow. How you need this? And that's all your... It's all your gifts, it's all your rewards. It's not money, it's just that the people just, oh wow, this guy is too much, you know. And a lot of my friends today, how you do that?
Like many slacky musicians, Cyril is especially drawn to sweet, gentle melodies that provide relaxation and relief from stress. purely for their own enjoyment, many Slacky artists play in the early morning after waking up or in the evening after work. This music soothes the body, mind, and soul.
Aloha, ahiana nova. Ikamakani, kaulana o kaina.
Edward Ka'apana grew up in the remote village of Kalapana on the big island of Hawaii, where the sounds of slack keys softly playing on the wind often woke up the children at night.
Everything we did in Kalapana was like fishing and going hunting, and you know, we even washed our own clothes and you know, lived the old style. You know, we never had no TVs. Everything was just guitars and ukuleles. It was always in the house, so. And That's what we used to do.
Of course, Slacky is also a music for parties and good times. Kalapana was famous for its luau and other celebrations when all the families would come together and everyone contributed to the festivity.
And everything was natural, you know, in the country, and you're hearing this slacky and this singing. And, yeah. and I mean, those days, the luau would go on like for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, nonstop, because every family, we used to raise pigs and chickens and, you know, goats, and we used to put the pig in the imu, and, you know, everybody used to share and just have a luau. And as soon as, you know, maybe the kalau pig is going down, oh, they send us back home. We'll call the pigs and catch another one, and we'll put it in the imu. So that's what we used to do.
One of today's most highly respected virtuosos, Ledward grew up watching his relatives play. By the age of 6, he was ready to start trying it for himself.
And because Uncle Fred was really unusual how he used to play his guitar. I mean, I seen him play with his nose on the top string of the guitar. Then I used to see him play with his toes, and he put the guitar down and he started running the top string with his, and I mean, keeping the timing and the melody at the same time. And I just used, wow. So I used to ask Uncle Fred, you know, how he learned how to play his guitar. And he told me he dreamed about 7 nights of how to play the guitar.
Led's Uncle Fred, like many of the legendary slacky masters of earlier generations, only recorded once. So much of his mastery lives on only in the memories of those fortunate to have heard him in person. Today, making use of modern recording technology, many slacky artists are preserving their music for world audiences, and perhaps more importantly, for Nga Pua, the future generations of Hawaiians. At the center of the drive to document the Kiho Alu legacy is a California-based production company called Dancing Cat. Owned by musician George Winston, Dancing Cat is working to amass as complete a collection of Kiho Alu slack key as possible.
I love slack key because it reminds me of my Montana upbringing, and we didn't have a traditional music scene, and there was a big missing part of the puzzle for music that represented how I felt about the seasons. The piano doesn't cover it all, and the instant I heard the great Slack Key Masters, I said, there's my language for the guitar. There's my basic language.
It was through records that Winston first heard Kiho Alu, or Slack Key. His indebtedness to the recording medium drives his enthusiasm to preserve this music for the future.
I always knew I wanted to do something, at least tell people about this great tradition. It's truly one of the great world's great guitar traditions and music traditions and art traditions, and it's very unknown outside the Hawaiian Islands. And I always felt this was a shame. This is like if bluegrass wasn't known outside of Kentucky or Tennessee, or flamenco was not known outside of Spain. One of the great things about today's society is we can hear and experience the great things people around the world are doing, if not firsthand, at least secondhand, with films and records. And we can learn from each other's differences instead of being afraid of them. I see the scope of what we're doing as eventually, in the next 10, 15 years, releasing 70 to 80 albums, probably, including most of the complete repertoires of most of the players we're doing, and we'll be doing other players as well. And I would like to see the slack key tradition be more just available to whoever might be interested in places outside of Hawaii, as well as that these recordings are textbooks for future players to learn from. I would like to see in 300-400 years that the tradition is still there, because it is one that expresses a lot of universal and deep feelings that are necessary to be expressed and are necessary to be heard. History of Hawaiian music, the first slack key track was probably 1946, the late great Gabby Pahanui's first recording of Hilave for Bell Records. And between 1946 and 1950, there were 21 recordings made on three different labels. And that's in contrast to the hundreds and hundreds of vocal and steel guitar recordings made on various labels. From the beginning, when Hawaiian music began being recorded around the turn of the century, up till 1946. From 1950 to 1959, there was approximately 25, somewhere around 25 recordings. So about half the early slack key tracks, let's say there's 45, about half were Gabby Pahanui and half were everybody else. I see it that the slack key guitar is not made to be commercial music. It's more the deeper, hidden music that's in the fabric of the soul of the people. I believe, particularly in Hawaii, that slack key recordings should be just laying around, because if they're available and they're laying around and they're in libraries and they're in people's houses, people and younger kids will pick these up and play them, and some will play the guitar. We are concentrating mainly, as one can hear, on the solo aspect. I feel that's a really intimate, soulful aspect of the slack key tradition that has not been documented. And there are so many people that said, you should have heard my grandfather play by himself at 2 in the morning, and nobody will ever hear that. Nobody will ever know. And So we ask the players sometimes to go back and remember the older, simpler things that their aunts or uncles or grandfathers, grandmothers played, to try to get back to what it was like maybe 1880, 1890. Slack Key kind of has two sides. It kind of has the improvisational, highly developed ornaments, and then it has the older style, the real simple, very profound. And I think these two really balance each other. We try for that because every player has these two sides. The fast side, the jazz side, the rascal side, and then the lullaby side, the poignant side, midnight side. In my opinion, the tradition is at its highest peak of creativity and involvement right now, and it's very important to see as much as we can where it came from. If I could work with any music tradition of all the beautiful ones I love so much anywhere and any time, it would be Hawaiian Slack Key Guitar 1995. So I couldn't be more grateful.
We return now to Sonny Chillingworth performing Hi'ilawe. We began with the Slack Key classic, and now we must use it to say goodbye. As with any music style, there will always be more about Slack Key that is felt than can be explained. In this short time, we have been able to share with you some of the features and feelings of Slack Key, Hawaii's unique gift to the world of guitar. If you play Slack Key, or if you only listen to it, remember what Ray Conney says.
Slack Key guitar music is a very sweet and very mellow music. You have to play it from within. You know, you have to play it from the heart. You know, you can feel that love and that heart and the feeling. It's so beautiful, words can never express.
This is Haunani Apoliona. Aloha and ahui hou.
The Language of Dreams, Hawaiian Slack Key Guitar, was written by Jay Yunker and produced by Greg McVicker at Pacific Multimedia. The executive producers were Ben Churchill and John Verniel.
Did you miss your favorite KRVS program? Well, we've got you covered. Visit krvs.org. Scroll over Audio on Demand, select your favorite program from the list, and find an archive of past episodes. Listen anytime, anywhere.
Howdy, partners. If you're hankering for some good time country music, join me, Ronella Rose Champagne, for Lost in Love on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. right here on KRVS. Come on, join the party.
The University of Louisiana at Lafayette. This is KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette Lake Charles, streaming online at krvs.org.